Show me your budget, show me your tax plans, and we'll know what your values are.
No plan has been laid out to explain how a multi-trillion dollar hole in this Medicare for All plan that Senator Warren is putting forward is supposed to get filled in.
And I'm tired of hearing, whenever I say these things, oh, it's Republican talking points. You are making Republican talking points right now in this room.
I am not going to give these police officers another reason to go door to door in certain communities, because police violence is also gun violence.
If I get the nomination, I will beat him like a drum.
Senator, I'm healthy. Sorry. I'm feeling great.
Why is it, does everyone else on this stage think it is more important to protect billionaires?
Trump needs to be held accountable. He is indeed the most corrupt and unpatriotic president we have ever had. Last night, a dozen Democratic hopefuls crowded together on stage in Ohio for the fourth presidential debate. With less than 4 months to go until the Iowa caucuses, political fortunes appear to be changing, and the candidates are tweaking their strategies in order to stand out. Joining me now is Amy Walter, national editor of the Cook Political Report and host of Politics with Amy Walter here on The Takeaway every Friday. Hi, Amy. How's it going?
Hey, Rune. Good. How are you?
Great. So, who had a good night last night? Any breakout moments?
Well, I think there were a couple of things that happened last night. The first was everybody on that stage seemed to agree that Elizabeth Warren now is, if not the front runner, at least the co-front runner with Joe Biden. She was attacked from pretty much every angle by about every single candidate on everything from, as you pointed out in the opening, her Medicare for All plan to her position on some of the technology issues. Andrew Yang saying her solution to breaking up big tech isn't solving the real challenges of the technology revolution. Amy Klobuchar, of course, going after her for what she says is her my way or the highway approach. And then the real breakout star, I would say, in this case, was Pete Buttigieg, who has been positioning himself for the last few weeks here as sort of a bridge candidate between Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, saying Joe Biden's plan to sort of bring us back to normal is unrealistic. There is no normal to go back to. But Elizabeth Warren and, to a certain extent, Bernie Sanders, but he focused most of his fire on Elizabeth Warren, she has plans that are just unrealistic, and they're going to divide us even more, saying essentially to Democratic voters, if you're worried in any way about Biden or Warren as a nominee, check me out. Give me a second look or a first look.
All right. So this is Bernie Sanders' first major appearance since his heart attack. Our own Tanzina Vega was watching last night, and she wrote that Sanders appeared lower on energy, though not on policy, than usual. How do you think he performed?
Yeah, listen, I think he looked pretty good. I don't know that people would have seen Bernie Sanders last night and thought, wow, that looks like a guy who just had a heart attack. I mean, he seemed pretty healthy and yeah. He was engaged in the fight. I remember the last debate appearance, he actually was sick, I think like a head cold kind of sick.
Right.
And so his voice was not very strong. He looked a little more feeble. In this case, I think he held his own very well. The bigger challenge for Bernie Sanders right now is that all of the issues that he would like to be the standard bearer for, Medicare for All, taking on the economic and political system and corruption, those are now issues that Elizabeth Warren has become the standard bearer on. You know, she's now the one leading the charge or being seen as the leader on those issues. And it was hard for Bernie Sanders to sort of get into this debate. At one point, he pulled out that line that he used in a previous debate about, I wrote that damn bill, because he was actually being left out of the conversation mm-hmm. on how to pay for Medicare for mm-hmm. All. And you could sort of sense his frustration that in 2016, I was in the vanguard, and now in 2020, I'm the one sitting in the back.
Let's talk about policy for a second here. What were some of the big policy issues that came up?
Well, the issue of Medicare for All, which has been front and center, I think since the very first debate, continues to be a real defining point, in part because the candidates do differ on what sort of healthcare policies that they would like to enact as president, but also because polls have shown consistently that the number one issue for Democratic candidates is healthcare. The issue of guns also played another starring role. In this case, it was Pete Buttigieg, who was on the offense, I would say, pretty much the entire debate. Yeah. Wasn't just against Warren, it was also against Beto O'Rourke. And the question about, you know, how realistic is it to push for policies like mandatory gun buybacks that Buttigieg argues are never going to go anywhere? And wouldn't it be more effective to actually pass laws that are going to be able to start making changes today rather than trying to get something that is, in his words, just too unrealistic and what he says is too divisive? It's only going to make our divided country more polarized if we focus on these all or none sort of policies. The issue for the first time, too, Andrew Yang was able to kind of get his own role here and his position on a universal basic income also played a starring role. We were having a conversation, not we, but the people on stage were having a conversation about what role work will be. What will work look like in an era when technology is becoming a bigger and bigger part of our lives and pushing a lot of people out of their jobs? Andrew Yang has been sort of on the fringe of the debates, never really getting much talking time, but now he actually saw one of his main issues get a pretty significant amount of discussion. So those were, you know, probably the ones that to me stuck out the most.
So I'm curious about how much a single debate like this matters when it comes to the long-term proposals. Let's just take healthcare and the debate over, Warren really had to kind of confront. When we see her being repeatedly challenged on the viability of her healthcare plans by fellow Democrats, is there a reason to believe that there isn't an appetite for her plans? Or is this simply just about taking Warren, the candidate, down a peg?
I think it is about both of those things. When you ask Democratic voters how they feel about something like Medicare for All, just that statement, do you approve, disapprove, support, not support Medicare for All, you get significant majority of Democrats saying, love that idea. But as you get into the specifics, what you start to see, even among Democrats, are concerns about, am I going to have to pay more in taxes for it? Am I going to lose my own private insurance if I'd like to keep that? But most important for many of these Democrats on that stage, their argument is that it's really divisive for those swing voters that Democrats are going to need to win in 2016 to beat Donald Trump, and that what Donald Trump and Republicans will be able to do is take healthcare, an issue where Democrats are on the offense, an issue that Democrats used to win the 2018 midterm elections, and will have to end up playing defense on it because Republicans are going to say, Democrats are coming to take away your private insurance. Democrats tell you that you can have all this great health care, but it's going to be government run. It's going to cost you taxes. It's going to be trillions and trillions of dollars that they can't find the money for. So it's going to come from your paycheck. And they're trying to make or get Democratic voters to see beyond the primary into the general election.
All right, Amy Walter is the host of Politics with Amy Walter here at The Takeaway, and she's also the national editor of The Cook Political Report. Amy, thanks, and we'll be listening on Friday.
Thanks, Arun.
And you can find Tanzina Vega's assessment of how each candidate did in last night's debate on the New York Times website at nytimes.com/opinion.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.